Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chof Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ve'elu kirayin she'en mitachin." These are tears that one has rent in their garments that may not be stitched up again. Ha'korei ala vivilimo, someone who tears a kriya for his parents, barabo shlimdo Torah, and his Rebbe which taught him Torah, val nasi, for the nasi, v'al avbeitin, the leaders of the community, val shmuot ra'ot, on bad news, val birkat Hashem, on chas v'shalom, someone who is mekalelet Hashem, val sefer Torah shin nisraf, and a sefer Torah that is burnt, val arei Yehuda, for the cities of Yehuda that were destroyed, val mikdash, for the churban habayit, val Yerushalayim, on Yerushalayim, val korea al mikdash, umosif al Yerushalayim. One can be korea on the mikdash, and then add on for Yerushalayim. We'll discuss each of these points independently in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Avivimo, Verabo Shlimdo Torah, Milalon, how do we know that you have to tear Kriya? Dichtiv, because it says, by Elisha, Elisha ro'eh, Vehu mitza'ek. Elisha was walking along with Eliyahu, and Eliyahu is now being taken up to heaven in a fire. And he says, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael uverashav. My father, you are the chariot of Israel and its cavalry. So now the Gemara says, Avi, Avi, Ze Avivimo. My father, this is means like your parents. Rechef Yisrael Farashav, Zerabo Shalimdo Torah. This is his Rebbe that taught him Torah. My mashma, why does Rechef Yisrael Farashav have anything to do with teaching Torah, being a Rebbe? Kedimitargim Rav Yosef, like the Targum of Rav Yosef, we always mention that Rav Yosef fell ill and became blind, therefore he was no longer able to learn Torah Shebichtav from the Ktav itself, because Dvarim that are put in Tav cannot be learned Baal Peh, and since he couldn't see, he learned the Tanakh through Targum. So that's why Rav Yosef is an expert in Targum, and the Gemara many times will quote Rav Yosef for the Targum. So, Kimitagim Rav Yosef, Rabbi, Rabbi, my Rebbe, my Rebbe, the Tav Lahon Yisrael, that is good for Kalal Yisrael, Bitzlote, with his Tfilah, Miritichin Uparashin, from chariots and cavalry. Learn from that the second part of the statement of Elisha references Eliyahu as being his teacher, his Rebbe, the one who is great for Kalal Yisrael. So you see over here that Elisha, who tears Kriya and is watching Eliyahu go up to Shamayim in a fire, says, Avi Avi Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav. So the Avi Avi references like parents, and Rechav Yisrael Ufarashav references his being his Rebbe. So from there we learn that you tear Kriya. The pasuk there says, Elisha, that he tore his garments, that he rent his garments. Now we're going to see in a second, velo mitachin, that they are not stitched up. Minolan, how do we know that? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, vayachazek bigadav, he grabbed onto his clothing, vayikareim lashnayim mikiraim, and he tore them into two pieces. So now we learned earlier in the sechta from vayachazek that grabbing or grasping something is a tefach, and that's how you know that a kriya has to be a tefach. So he grabbed onto his clothing and he rent them into two. So where it says, mimashma shenemar vayikareim, that he tore them, and Yodea Shalishnaim, don't I know, of course, that it went to two? When you tear something, it obviously splits into two pieces. El Maled Shikruim Vilmdim Lishnaim Leolam. That's the second part. Vayikareim means they were torn into two. Lishnaim Kareim, that it's two pieces, because it remained two pieces forever. That's what we learn, that you're not allowed to restitch it. So from there, that story with Elisha, who rent his garments, we see there, first of all, you have to tear Kriya over parents. Number two is you have to tear Kriya over his Rebbe. And number three is that you cannot stitch up any of those kriyot. Amar le Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a stark question. Eliyahu chayu. Eliyahu never died. So why is this any proof to the fact that you tear kriyot over someone passed away? Eliyahu didn't pass away. He was taken up alive to Shemayim. Amar le came in dichtiv, because it says there in the pasuk, velo ra'u od, that Elisha never saw Eliyahu again. The Gavi Didei kemet dami. In reference to Elisha, Eliyahu is the equivalent of death, because he's been taken away, and he will never see him again. So even if he's quote-unquote still alive, that has no relevance to Elisha. As far as Elisha is concerned, he is dead. And therefore, he tear Kriya on him as if he was dead, and therefore we can learn out from that the dinim that we learned here. And nasiv av beitin ushmot ra'ot. How do we know on these items that you have to tear Kriya? Minolon? Dichtiv, because it says, vayichzek David bivig adav, vayikareim, vigam kol anashim asher ito, Vayisbedu, vayivku, vayitzumu, ad erev, al Shaul, vayonatan bino, valam Hashem, val Beit Yisrael, kenaflu b'charev. So here is the news that at Har Gilboa, Yonatan, Shaul, and the Am were defeated by the Plishtim, and that Yonatan and Shaul and his kids were killed there. So everybody rents their garments and is be'avelut over the news that they heard. Now the Gemara ascribes to the different parties that are there some halakhic categories. It says, Shaul ze nasi. Shaul is the equivalent of a nasi, meaning that the Shaul is the king, but the continuation of what we call the king in the post-monarch period is the nasi, and maybe in the galut, it's the exilarch, the resh galuta. So Shaul represents what the nasi would represent in the modern time, and therefore he would tear Kriya over the nasi. Yonatan ze av beitin. Yonatan was his right-hand man. The right-hand man of the nasi is the av beitin. So therefore, Yonatan represents like the av beitin, and you would tear Kriya over the av beitin. Al am Hashem ve'al beit Yisrael. For the Am Hashem and Beit Yisrael, Elu Shmot wrote, that's bad news that the Jews were defeated and that they were killed over there. So on the bad news, you tear Kriya. So for these three items, you would tear Kriya. Amalei Rav Bar Shava, the Rav Gaano, Veima Adahavu Kulu. Who says that you have to tear Kriya on any one of these items? All three of them are mentioned in the Pasuk, and David tears Kriya. It could have been only because all three of them happened simultaneously that he tore Kriya. But had they happened individually, he may not have torn Kriya. Amalei al hifsik ha'inyan. If you look in the Pasuk, each one of them is given its own category, which is al Shaul, v'al Yonatan, v'al Am Hashem, v'al Beit Yisrael. So each one of them is given its own standing. It's not just that he tore Kriya al Shaul Yonatan, but no, Am Hashem u'Beit Yisrael. Each Baal segregates them and makes each one of them discrete, and therefore you tear Kriya on each discrete item. Umi karina nashmol drot. Do we really tear Kriya on bad news? Amrulei the Shmuel, Katal Shavur Malka, Tracer Alfe Yudai. Didn't Shmuel get the news that Shavur Malka had killed 12,000 Jews, the Mizigat Kezari, in a city called Kezaria Mazaka, which was the capital of Cappadocia? It was a large military post city on the main roads that went out to the east. And it was done by Shavu Malka when he defeated some of the Roman occupiers, the emperor at the time. And it was a large city, and it were 12,000 Jews that were also killed. Velo kara. Where it says, Lo amru ela berov tzibur ukamase shehaya. It's only true that you would do on Shmot Ra'ot when it affects the majority of the population. Number one, ukamase shehaya. Similar to the event that took place when David got the news about the defeat of the Jews. It involves the larger part of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's a more significant piece of bad news. It's not a discrete piece of bad news that deals with a large number of Jews, but not Jews that affect the entirety of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Umikato Shavur Malka, you died. Did Shavur Malka really kill any Jews? Amarle Shavur Malka to Shmuel. Shavur Malka and Shmuel who have a good relationship. Teiteli is a terminology that we saw in the Gemara Megillah, as well as in other Gemarot, which is when Talmidei Chachamim want to say that, grant me this. This is a maaseh or a mitzvah that I did that will stand for me, protect me, because I did it well. So Shavur Malka says the same thing to Shmuel. Teiteli, this should be my merit. This should be something that stands by my side, that I never, delo katla yudai me'olam, I never killed any Jews. Well, how can you say he never killed any Jews if he killed 12,000 Jews in Mizigat Kezari? So the Gemara says, hotam inhu garmi l'nafshayu. They brought it upon themselves. Meaning that he wasn't at fault for killing those Jews. They are speaking in defense of Shavur Malka here, that he slayed the Jews over there, caused their own defeat. Dama Rabbi Ami, Lekal Yitere, Demizigat Kesari, because of the harp strings that were played in this place, Mizigat Kesari, which ended up being defeated, Paka Shura de Ludkia, that caused the wall of Ludkia to be breached. I mean, they joined in the rebellion against the Persian king. And since they joined the rebellion against the Persian king, they were a part of the rebels. And when he had to kill them, because he had to defeat them. So it wasn't his fault that he didn't kill them as Jews, qua Jews. He just killed them because they were part of the rebellion against him. So had they not joined the rebellion, they wouldn't have been killed. But what Shavur Malka is saying is, I never persecuted the Jews, particularly. I never killed any Jews just because they were Jews. Abirgat Hashem, Milan. How do we know that you have to tear Kriya when Hashem's Chas V'Shalom name is cursed? Dichtiv, because it says, Vayavo Eliakim ben Chilkiya, Asher Labayit V'Shevna Hasofer V'Yoach ben Asaf HaMazkir El Chizkiyahu Kurei Begadim. So this is the end of the parak in Melachim Bet Yudchet. This is when Ashur has laid siege to Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech is on the inside. And they basically, Rav Shaket comes towards the wall and speaks to them and says, you should give up here. There's no way that your God is going to defend you. Chizkiyahu is misleading you. And Rav Shaket basically curses the God of Israel. And here, Tosafot notes, it's not clear whether Rav Shaket was a Jew or a non-Jew, and that would have implications in terms of when you have to tear Kriya in the cursing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Chas V'Shalom. But here, what you have is, he speaks, and then they stood on the wall. These individuals were standing on the wall listening to Rav Shaket, and then they rent their garments because of what they're hearing, and then they appear before Chizkiyahu HaMelech to relate to him what they heard. So when they appear before him, their garments are rent because they tore their garments over what Rav Shaket had said. So you have Eliakim ben Chilkiah, who is over the matters of the house, Shevna Sofer, the scribe Shevna, and Yoach ben Asaf, a Maskir, is also the secretariat. And they come to Chizkiyah to report on what they saw or heard, and their garments are torn, so we see that they rent their garments over the Birkat Hashem. Tanu Banan, Echad HaShomea, V'Echad HaShomea Mipi HaShomea, both one who hears it directly, the Birkat Hashem, or someone who hears it in hearsay from another person, Chayav Likroa. You have to tear. Now, when you say hearsay, it means from Edim, people who were witnessing it. If they repeat what was said there, then you tear Kriya at the time. But the Edim who are testifying, who are relaying the information, they don't have to tear again. They already tore Kriya when they heard about it. What's the matter that they tore Kriya when they heard it? You're hearing it again now. Each time you hear it, it should be such a significant event, something that is so heart-wrenching that you tear Kriya again. Where it says, Lo Sakadachta, because it says, in the subsequent parak in Melachim Bet, when these three individuals convey what had transpired to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, it says, Vayhi Kishwa HaMelech Chizkiyahu, when Chizkiyahu hears what they have to say, Vayhi cried, Bigadav, he rent his garments, he tore his clothes. HaMelech Kara, Vayim Lo Karu. The king tore his clothes, but they did not, because they already tore their clothes. They were witnesses to the original cursing, to what Rav Shaket said, so they tore Kriya then. Then when they relay that information to Chizkiyah, Chizkiyah is hearing it for the first time, so he tears Kriya. They do not tear Kriya because they had already torn Kriya when they originally heard it from Rav Shaket. V'lo mitachin, how do we know that you don't stitch that back up? In Alan, Acha Kriya Kriya. It's a Gzera Shava of Kriya Kriya. So we learn out, just like by Elisha, we didn't tie it up, or we don't stitch it up, so too over here, we don't stitch it up. Tosafot raises the issue, then why doesn't that apply to all Kriyot? It seems to here this is a generic type of definition through a Gezeirah Shavah, that anytime you have the word Kriya, it's defined by that which happened by Elisha, that you don't have to restitch it. So that we say that both by parents, Rebbe, Nasi, Av Beit Din, Shmuel, Raot, and now on Birkat Hashem, because they're all Kriyot, and those Kriyot are connected to the Kriya of Elisha. If that's true, it should apply to all Kriyot. Says, not sure why, but obviously there's some reason that the Gemara knew that it only applied to these and not to others. Obviously, the Bright is talking about significant types of Kriyot. Kriyot that we're speaking about here are the Kriyot that have status above all the other Krovim, any other relative, or any other reason that you would tear Kriya, and therefore they're given that distinguished character, which is that they have to remain, they may not be stitched up. Sefer Torah Shenisraf, how do we know when a Sefer Torah is burnt that you have to tear Kriya? Minolon Dichtiv. Because it says, Vayikai Kikro Yehudi Shalosh Dilatot Ve'arba'a Yikra Eha Bitara Sufer Vashlech Leish Ashalach. So this is the story of Yirmiyahu HaMelech, who tells Baruch Neriah, his assistant, to write down all the nevuot he's had about the Churban, basically to write down what is Megillat Eicha. And then Baruch takes it to the Migdash and he reads it to the Sarim that are there and to the Sofrim that are there. And they get worried, they rip their garments, they're very upset about it. They tell him to hide and tell Yirmiyahu to hide, and then they go take it to the king, and they try to convince the king to take this seriously. Then they read it before the king, and it says there, when they're reading it before the king, Vayhi Kikro Yehudi, Shalosh Dilatot Varba, when he reads three or four leaves, sections of it, then Yikraya Bitara Sofer, they would cut it out with like a penknife, Vashlech Aleish, and they would throw it into the fire, Shalach, that's in the brazier, or the heater that was in front of the king. So the king didn't like what he was hearing in the Megillah that was written. And so as they read it, he tears it up and throws it into the fire. My shlosh daltot ve'arba'a. Amrulale de yokeriyakim. Katav Yirmiyah Sefer Kinot. Yirmiyah wrote Sefer Kinot, which is the equivalent of what we have today of Eicha. Amrulahu makadivbe. What's written in it? So what does it mean, three or four leaves? So he says, Eicha yashva badad, which is the first pasuk in Eicha. How the city now is all desolate and alone. So Amalehu, Anamalko, I'm still the king. So that's not such a bad thing. Amalei, the second pasuk there is, Bachotiv Kebalailo, that you cry in the night for all the destruction, all the terrible things that have happened. He says, Anamalko, I was still the king. What's the big deal? So bad things happen. That's not a big deal. Galta Yehuda Meoni, Yehuda was exiled out of poverty and affliction, but yet he still says, Anamalka, again he says, I'm still the king. So now we read the first three psukim in Echa. Then, Darchei Tzion Abilut, that the ways of Tzion will be mourning. Anamalka, he answers again, that's the, I am the king. So here you have the first four psukim in Echa, which obviously they're just quoting you the beginning of those psukim. So they read the four psukim in Echa, that's what it means, Shlosh Totot V'Arba'ah. They read the first three, four psukim in the Sefer Kinot. And no problem. Why? I'm still the king. As long as I'm still the king, we don't worry about anything else. Then the fifth pasuk says, "Ayut Sarel the Rosh." Then its enemies became the leaders. Amalu Man Amra. Who said that? So the pasuk continues, "Ki Hashem Hoga Arov Pishael," because Hashem is aggrieved or exasperated over the grave sins or the terrible quantity of sins that have come about in the city. So then it's from Hashem. Miad, at that point, Kadar Kolach Zkorot Sheba, he carved out or cut out all the Shemot Hashem in it, Visarfan Beish, and burnt them. The Yushalmi doesn't have this, that he cut out the Azkorot, simply that he cut it up and then threw it into the fire, like the Pasuk says. Behainu Dichtiv, and then it says in the Pasuk, after, when they're reading this, they're tearing it up and throwing it into the fire, and it says, Velo Pachadu, they were not fearful, Velo Karu Ad Bigdehem, and they did not rent their garments over what they heard. As opposed to the Sarim and the others that heard this previously, who were distraught over what they heard from Yirmiyahu, the king and his advisors do not react whatsoever. And the Navi criticizes them and says they were not afraid and they did not tear their garments. Michlal, from this you can infer, debal the mikra, that that's what they should have done. They should have been rending their clothes or tearing their clothes. Now, they should have torn their clothes because of the kinot, but besides that, they should have tore their clothes because they were throwing it into the fire. They were throwing a sefer into the fire. Maybe the reason that they had to tear Kriya here is not because of the scroll that was being burnt. Maybe it's because of the bad news. The thing is full of keynote. Keynote telling about all the bad things that are going to happen to Yerushalayim. Those are predictions of the future. They are not statements of fact. I mean that Shmot Raot are when you get bad news. Bad news that's already transpired. Over here, this is predictive in nature. And therefore, you would not tear kriya over that type of shmua ra'a. The shmua ra'a that you would tear kriya for is only if it already happened. So the only reason to tear kriya in this instance is because of the burning of the scroll, not because of the information that's contained within this scroll. Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Aroya Sefer Torah Shenikra, Chayav Dikra. Person who sees a Sefer Torah being ripped must tear kriya. Shtei kriyot, and he has to tear two kriyot. Achad al agvil, one for the cloth itself, and one for the writing on the Torah, meaning that the Gevil itself, that which it's written on, has Kedusha. On top of that, there's an additional Kedusha to the areas where there's actually writing on it, and therefore you have to tear two kriyot, Shenemar, because the Pasuk continues in this story in Yirmiyahu, after the king rips it up and burns it up, then Hashem appears to Yirmiyahu and tells him to rewrite everything that he had written in the Sefer Kinot, Shenemar, Acharei Srofa Melech et HaMegilah v'et HaDvarim. Hashem appears to Yirmiyahu after all this transpired, after the king had burnt up the Megillah and the Dvarim and the words. So therefore they see in this two parts to it, the Megillah and the words. And that there were two problems here. He burnt the Megillah itself, the cloth, the gevil itself, the margins, and the Ktav itself, and the writing on it. And therefore we see that there are two distinct entities over which he would tear Kriya. Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Huna Barchiya Abiyatve, Kamei, Rabbi Avo. By Lefnuye, he had to relieve himself. He had to go to the bathroom. Shakle de Totafe. So he took off his tefillin. One is not allowed to enter into the bathroom with his tefillin. So therefore he removed his totafot, totafate, and achte abesajo, and he put it down on the pillow. So here, Rabbi Ava, Rav Huna Bar Chiya were sitting before Rabbi Ava. Rabbi Ava has to go to the bathroom and relieve himself. So he takes off his tefillin and puts him down on the pillow. Atai bat nemita. Along comes like an ostrich or a large bird. And he wants to eat them up or swallow the tefillin that are left there. Amar, hashta yichayven li shtei kriyot. You're going to cause me to have to tear two kriyot now, because tefillin have parshiot in them, and therefore they have the same din as a Megillah, as a Sefer Torah, and I have to tear two kriyot over the loss of these tefillin, as Rashi says over here, because it's domel l'sreifa. It's similar to being burnt up. Amrulei, they said to him in Alacha, where do you know this from? Va b'didei ha'uvdo. I had an instance of this. Va'ati de kamei de Rav Matno, and I went before Rav Matno. V'lo avay b'yodei, and he didn't know. Ati de kamei de Rav Yehuda, I went to Rav Yehuda. V'amarli hochi amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda quotes from his Rebbe Shmuel that this is the din. Lo'amar ela b'zroa ukamaseh shaya. It's only when it's done by force, like the instance where it took place, meaning the case of the king of Israel, where he took it and he forcibly burnt it, then it's the case. The Tosafot adds over here that Yushalmi adds, it's Bezroa and Shusarfa, like Shusarfa Melech Yisrael. It's somebody powerful who burns it up, like the case by Yoyakim in the instance where Yirmiyahu gave him the sefer and he rips it up and burns it. So it has to be something similar to that in order to tear Kriya. If it's just simply that the tefillin got taken away or swallowed by a bird, that's not a reason to tear Kriya. Some changed the gears over here to read that it was Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Huna Bar Chiya that were sitting together, and then Rabbi Abba breaks off, because otherwise the story is a little interesting. You have Rabbi Abba sitting in front of Rabbi Abba, but the Haggad Rauschenberg says that it's possible there were many Rabbi Abba's stam in the Shas, and therefore it could have been two different Rabbi Abbas, even though normally the Gemara would identify which one it is. So therefore there is an alternate girsa that wipes out the Bifnei in front of Rabbi Abba, and just says it was Rabbi Abba and Rav Huna Bar Chiya that were sitting together, and then Rabbi Abba went to relieve himself. Are Yehuda, how do you know that you have to tear Kriya when you see the cities of Yehuda that are destroyed? Min alon dechdiv, because it says Vayavou Anashim Mishchem Mishilo Umishomron Shomonim Ish. There are these individuals that come from the north, from places in what was the former kingdom of Israel, Shchem, Shilo, and the Shomron, 80 people, Migulchei Zakan. They were shaven, their beards were taken off, Ugrei Bigadim, their garments were rent, Umit Godudim, and they were all cut up, Uminchal Uvanabi Adam, and they were bringing meal offerings and frankincense from the Beit Hashem to bring to the Beit Hashem. This is in the story right after the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam. They are coming down to Yerushalayim, and they don't know about any of the information that has transpired. And here, all of a sudden, Nishmael Minatanya, who was the assassinator of Gedaliah ben Achikam, goes out to the mitzvah to greet them, and he's pretending to cry over the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, and then he bumps into them, and he says, let's go see Gedaliah ben Achikam. When they come into the city, he kills them, slaughters them. But why were they walking around with all this torn up in the kriyot? It's because they're coming from the north, and they come down and see the destruction that's been rent over the Arei Yehuda. So the Gemara claims that that's how we know that you have to tear kriya over the Arei Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Chelba, Amar Ula, Biria, Amar Rabbi Laza, Haro'e Arei Yehuda b'churbanan Omer. Anybody who sees the Arei Yehuda in their destroyed form in destruction, he says, Arei Kodshecha Hayu Midbar. It's a pasuk in Yishayahu. We're going to read it. It's two pasukim in a row, Tet and Yud there, that your holy cities have now become like the desert. Gekoreya, and then you tear a kriya. Yerushalayim b'churbanan, when you see Yerushalayim in its destruction, Omer, Tzion Midbar Hayata Yerushalayim Shemama. Tzion was now like a desert. Yerushalayim has become complete desolation. Vikorea, and then you tear Kriya. Beit HaMikdash b'churbano, when you say the Beit HaMikdash in its churban omer, Beit Kodshenu v'tifarteinu, our holy and glorious house, Asher hiluluch avoteinu, that our forefathers praised you. Hayah the Srefat Eish was now become burnt in the fire. V'chol machmadeinu hayah the churba, and all the beautiful, the precious, the lights of our eyes have now become destruction, vikoreya, and you tear kriya. So you read these psukim in Yishayahu, but here you see you tear kriya over Arei Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and the Mikdash separately. The Gemara only brings a proof to the fact that you tear kriya over Arei Yehuda. The Gemara assumes that over Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash, that you don't even need a proof for. That is an automatic response to seeing Yerushalayim bechurbana and the Mikdash bechurbana, that one would tear kriya. We don't need evidence of that from the pasuk. It's the natural emotional reaction to this. We'll read a little more and then we'll discuss the halachic ramifications. Viriminu, echad shomea vechad ru'eh, person who hears about it or sees it, kevin shiyigya letzofim, once he reaches the tzofim, korea, he rips, v'korea al mikdash bifnei atzma, v'al Yerushalayim bifnei atzma, he rips on Yerushalayim by itself and on the mikdash by itself. Yet we quoted in the Braita before and says that v'korea al mikdash, you tear for the mikdash, umosif al Yerushalayim, then you add on for Yerushalayim. So when it says Lokasha, how the poga b'migdash b'reisha, that depends what you bumped into first. If you say you see the Mikdash b'churbana first, then you tear kriya over the Mikdash, and you can be mosif, you can add on to that kriya for Yerushalayim. How the poga b'Yerushalayim b'reisha, if you bump into Yerushalayim in the first place, then you have to tear a kriya on Yerushalayim. and you have to tear a separate kriya over the mikdash, because we're going to see in the remainder of today's daf that adding onto a kriya is only when the kriyot are of a similar nature. But if there's a significance to the other kriya, in order to give it its proper place and significance, you have to tear a separate kriya. So you're going to have to tear a separate kriya for the mikdash over Yerushalayim. The other way around, we've already torn the mikdash, Yerushalayim is subordinate to the mikdash, therefore you can tear or add on to the kriya. On the other hand, if you tore on Yerushalayim, you're going to have to tear a separate kriya over the mikdash. Now this actually is brought down the Loch of the Maaseh in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah writes that even though Arei Yehuda are now settled with Jews, nevertheless you still have to tear kriya because they're still under Muslim rule. So that's very interesting, because obviously today that dynamic has changed and they're now under Jewish rule. So since they're under Jewish rule and inhabited by Jews, most likely one does not have to tear kriya over Arei Yehuda. So in general, people do not tear kriya over Arei Yehuda, which follows the shita of the Bach and the Magen Avraham, that b'zman hazeh, when you're under shulton in Israel, you do not have to tear kriya. People do still tear kriya over Yerushalayim and over the Mikdash. People, in order to avoid this problem, basically use the Gemara here, and they try to enter Yerushalayim from a side where they'll bump into the Mikdash first, and not see Yerushalayim before they bump into the Mikdash. For instance, if you come in from the south, from the side of Hebron, from the Gush, if you enter in there and go to the Tayelet in Talpiot, then you'll be overlooking the Mikdash, and you'll tear kriya over the Mikdash, and you won't have to tear kriya separately over Yerushalayim. If you enter from the other side and see Yerushalayim first, before you see the Makom and Mikdash, that might present you a problem of having to tear kriya over Yerushalayim and then over the Mikdash. There is controversy as whether you have to tear kriya over Yerushalayim today, because Yerushalayim, again, is inhabited by Jews. It's ruled by Jews. So maybe it doesn't have the status of having to have kriya torn over Yerushalayim. So it really is a safek. In general, the practice by most is only to tear kriya over the Mikdash, Makom and Mikdash. Some people tear kriya over Yerushalayim separately. Again, to avoid the problem, you might want to come in from a direction into Yerushalayim by which you'll see the Makom and Mikdash first, and then you won't have any of this safek about tearing kriya. Now, the requirement to tear kriya is every time that 30 days elapse and one has not seen it. That means that even for people who live in Eretz Yisrael, who do not visit Yerushalayim on that type of frequency, they would have to tear kriya every time they come in. There are some that don't have that practice. They quote for Shlomo Zalman Orbach in a tshuva, which really does not seem to say that. He talks about people who live in Yerushalayim, and therefore they are somewhat inured to it because they live there all the time. They don't have to tear kriya. It's not really talking about people coming from the outside. It's not talking about people who visit on an irregular basis or in more than 30-day intervals. But it seems, min halacha, that if one comes in over 30-day intervals, they will have to tear kriya each time that they come. Now, it's true that you could be mosif on the kriya that you did last time, so you can keep a single shirt, or you can do multiple kriyot on a single shirt. But a person should tear kriya every time they come in there. It's both halachically proper, but it's also a siman, or an understanding, or an acknowledgement that not everything is whole here. Despite the fact of the miracle of the rebirth of Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that we now inhabit Yerushalayim, there's still a problem. The Makom HaMikdash is still inhabited by Zarim. We don't have the Beit HaMikdash. We don't have the presence of the Shekhinah. And we have to acknowledge that through the kriya that one would tear. There are some poskim that want to be melamed zchut on those people that don't tear kriya, is that the nature of the kriyot with regards to Mikdash and Yerushalayim have to do with the emotion that one feels coming in there. If one does not have that emotion, maybe they shouldn't have to tear the kriya. That might be evidenced by the fact that the Gemara brings no source for the kriya by the Mikdash and the kriya by Yerushalayim, because it takes it for granted that of course you would tear kriya there, because nobody would come into that position, see the city in that state, or see the Mikdash in that state, and not tear kriya. So you see that it has to do with the emotional response of the individual. And today, in our Chataim, and the distance away from the Korban, and partly what to do with the rebuilding of that area, maybe you don't have that emotional response, and therefore one would be exempted from tearing kriya. Or the fact that today one can access the Kotel on a regular basis, even if they don't come all the time, since it's within accessibility to them and easily reached by them, maybe they shouldn't have to tear kriya because there's really no hesach hadat from it. These are all in the way of melamed zchut over those people that don't tear kriya. There were those around the time of 1967 who wanted to argue that maybe we shouldn't tear kriya anymore, we should say shechiyanu, but I think over the number of years that have passed since that time and a certain amount of disillusionment, even some of those poskim have changed their mind and say now that you would have to tear kriya. And so the proper practice halacha is to tear kriya when one comes to the kotel, when one comes to the makom amigdash. Right, Tan Rabbanan, v'chulan, all of these kriyot where you're not allowed to stitch them back up, v'shaim, you are allowed to sholulam, like to tack them back together to do an uneven type of stitch, ulamolulan, or to baste them together, ululoktam, or to bring the frayed edges together, v'sotan k'min sulamot, or to stitch them up like a ladder, which is that the stitches are visible across, but they don't actually pull the sides of the beged together. Avolu alola achutan, you can't do is stitch them up. Amar Rav Chista, what is this achutan? Ubichui Alexandri. It's the Alexandrian stitching. Here Tosafot quotes from the Yushalmi who says, what is ichui? It's if you can't see the stitching. I mean, it's done so well that you can't see where the stitching is done. In Masechet Smachot, it says, kol she'achucho kol tzorcho. As long as it's stitched up and makes it usable and nice to wear, that's enough. But either way, you can't stitch it up properly. If you stitch it up, you have to stitch it up in a way where the kriya, where the tear, is obvious that it was torn. And that's why it's okay, because it's visible, the tear, and you know that the tear is still there. If you make it that the tear is invisible now, then that is problematic. Tanu Rabbanan, a korea mitoch ha-shlau, someone who tears or rips a garment where it was loosely stitched up, mitoch ha-malau, mitoch ha-leket, these are the ways that we said before it's permissible to stitch it up, mitoch ha-sulamot, or the ladder type stitch, lo yatsa, then you're not yotze, because the fact that that's not called stitching up, if you tear it, then it's not going to be called kriya. On the other hand, if you have something that was stitched up properly, and now it's fully stitched, if you tear over there, yatsa, then you're yotze. So that's the difference. If you stitch it up in a way that seals it, then when you rip it, it's called a kriya. If you stitch it up in a way that's not called stitching it up, then if you rip it, it's not called ripping. The reason you're allowed to stitch in that manner is because it's not really together. If it's not really together, then ripping it is not really ripping. So this breita just gives you the opposite of what's said in the previous breita. Amar Rav Chista ubichui Alexandria. Again, we have the qualification. What's ichui here? It means ichui Alexandria, this Alexandrian stitching, which, again, as Tosafot points out, either means it's not visible to stitch, or it's done in such a manner that one would wear it because it's stitched up properly. Tanu Rabbanan, Rashai lo pchod mata o l'achuto. One is permitted to turn the beged upside down and then stitch it up. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar oser l'achuto. No, even if you flip it upside down and you remake the beged, you can't seal it up. So the assumption would be that the Tanna Kamma believes when you flip the beged over, it's as if you made it into a totally new beged. Since a new beged, you could stitch it up. Moshe Melazar says, no, you can't stitch it up. It's still the kriya, and that kriya has a status that it must remain karua. Shem shemocher asur l'achoto, and just like the person who owns the beged may not stitch it up, kakalokeach, if he sells it to someone else, asur l'achoto, he may not stitch it up, and fikach, mocher tzarech lo di'al l'lokeach. Therefore, the seller has to tell the buyer what the kriya was for, and why it cannot be stitched up, so that it's not lifnei yiver lo titen michshol, so it doesn't cause the lokeach to stitch it up by not having the information he needs. Tosafot over here asks, what happens if you sell it to a non-Jew? Do you have to say anything about it? He leans towards saying that you don't have to say anything, and it would be permissible for the lokeach, the buyer, on his own volition to stitch it up, because he has no restriction against stitching it up, and therefore you might be able to send it to an achri and not say anything. Tanu Rabbanan, tchilat kriya tefach. The first kriya that you make is a tefach that we saw from Yechazak, that you grab onto it to tear it. So Yechazak is with a fist. That's a tefach. But Tosefet, if you want to add on to an existing kriya, then it's shalosh etzbot. Then we have to do three etzbot. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, tchilat kriya shalosh etzbot. The beginning kriya is only three etzbot, but Tosefet koshu, and in addition is a koshu. Tosefet points out over here, he doesn't know where Rabbi Yehuda gets the source for the fact that there is a kriya of shalosh etzbot. Where do we know that from? We know where we got a tefach from. Shlosh etzbo, he doesn't say we have a source for. Then, Amar Ula Alocha ki Rabbi Meir b'kriya. The Alocha is like Rabbi Meir and Kriya, that the initial Kriya has to be a tefach, that we saw from the Pasuk. Alocha ki Rabbi Yehuda b'tosefet. And with regards to adding on to a Kriya, the Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you only have to add on a koshu, any amount. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a breita that supports that psak of Ula, because Rabbi Yossi Omer, tchilat Kriya tefach b'tosefet koshu. This is a proof for two reasons. One is that Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi trumps both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yossi. In addition, Rabbi Yossi over here is a third opinion that's a machria, that's a compromise position, so it would also be the halacha like him. And therefore, Ula says the halacha is that chilat kriya, new kriya, requires a tefach, but any addition to a kriya only requires a tosefet koshu, a small addition. Tanu Rabbanan, amrulo metaviv vikara. He heard that his father had passed away, he got the information, he tore a kriya. Mate beno, then he got the information that his son had passed away, vosif, and he added on. Tachton, the lower part, the additional kriya, mitache, can be stitched up, because with regards to a child or any other of the krovim, you're allowed to stitch it back up after the time of the avilut. Elyon, the upper part of the kriya, which was for his father, eno mitache, he's not allowed to stitch it up. Meit beno, on the other hand, if his son passed away, v'karai, and that was the first part of the kriya, then meit aviv, and then his father passed away, vosif, and then he added on for the kriya for his father, elyon mitache, the upper part is stitched up, tachton eno mitache, the lower part's not stitched up. Again, the part that's for the child is stitched up, the part for the parent may not be stitched up. Meit aviv, meit imo, meit achiv, meit achuto. He has news about numerous deaths at the same time. His father passed away, his mother passed away, his brother and his sister passed away. Korea kera echad lekulan. The Tanakhama says you're allowed to tear or rent one's garments once for all of the news at once. Yehuda ben Metero omer, al kulan kera echad, al aviv imo kera echad. That for all the other relatives you tear one kriya, they can be grouped together. For aviv imo, you have to tear a separate kriya. Lefi she'en mosefim al kera aviv imo, because one may not add on to the tear of his parents. My time. What's the reason for this? Amar Nachman Yitzchak Levi Sheinu B'Tosefet. It cannot be added on to. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Alocha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The Alocha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Umir Amar Shmuel Hachi. Can Shmuel really say this? Amar Shmuel Alocha divya Mekil Bavel. In general, we go like the Alocha of the Mekil and Avel. Amar says, Avelut Luchud, Kriya Luchud. Avelut is one category. Kriya is a different category. The Gemara here says that there's a difference between Avelut, where we are Mekil, versus Kriya, where we're not Mekil. I mean that Kriya has its own standing. Kriya stands alone from Avelut. They're independent items. The Ravid again takes it so far as to even suggest that Kriya might be Doraita, meaning from the Torah. The Ramban in Torah Adam rejects that statement, but the Ravid takes it from here, the fact that Avelut and Kriya are separate, that Kriya has its own standing. Kriya is independent. The reason that Kriya might be independent is we find the Tanakh Malay times that you have to do Kriya. Kriya is not only associated with Avilut, as we saw in the previous Amud, that you tear Kriya for all different types of bad news, not just over Avilut. So Kriya is separate from Avilut, even though it's part and parcel of Avilut. It has a manifestation within Avilut, but it's not tied directly to Avilut, and it has its own laws and its own standing. In addition, here we see something similar that was said on the first Amud today, which is that the difference between the nature of the kriyot might actually demand that you make a separate kriya. We saw that for Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, that if you tore on the Yerushalayim, then you have to tear separately for the Mikdash. So Yehuda ben Teira is saying something similar, which is that if you tear kriya for other relatives, that does not suffice for Aviv V'Imo, because Aviv V'Imo is a different category, has a different standard, and therefore you have to tear kriya separately for Aviv V'Imo versus the other krovim. Now, as far as what the addition of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok is a little unclear. The Braita says, "Lefi shein mosifim al kara aviv v'imo." You're not allowed to add on to your parents' kriya. So then, what does he say? "Lefi shein b'tosefet." You can't add it on. So what does that add? Tosafot already asked the question. What is he adding? So he suggests that there are some Rishonim that take out the words "Lefi shein mosifim" out of the Braita and say it wasn't there, and that's only really the statement of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. But many leave in that statement in the Braita, and therefore they have to explain what is the addition of Rav Nachman Yitzchak when he says Lifisha Einan Bit Tosefet, that it cannot be added on. So Rashi over here says, with regards to Lifisha Einan Bit Tosefet, Klomar Ein Bedin Shemosif Elan. It's not Mi'ikar Alocha that you can't do it. He says that it's just inappropriate to tear Kriya as a Tosefet for one's parents. One should tear separately for the parents than from any other Kriya. So it's not a Halocha. It's an explanation of the reason behind the halacha. Why is it that you shouldn't add on to one's parents' kriya? Because the fishayin b'tosefet, it's inappropriate for one to act in such a manner. So it's not a halachic statement, but rather an explanation of the position stated by the Braita. And that's what the addition of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok is. Others suggest that the Braita says, lefisha ein mosifim, that you do not add on to one's parents' kriya. That's what the Braita says. The Braita says it would be inappropriate, it would not be right, to tear for other relatives on top of the kriya of one's parents. But what about the other way around? How do you know that if you tore kriya for a relative that you shouldn't add on for the parent? That's what Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok comes to add. That's what the Ritva suggests. That the addition of Rav Nachman Yitzchok is that you can't tear in the opposite direction. If you have relatives' kriya, then you can't add on a tosefet for aviv v'imo, because that's also not kvod aviv v'imo. And that's what the addition suggests over here. Now, the Ritva says this more like the way that we suggested in Rashi before, that it is inappropriate to do it in this manner. And that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying. The Ramban in Torah Adam says that's mi'ikar alocha, that one can't do this. that one may not add on to another relative's kriya for one's parents, because that does not suffice to be a kriya for one's parents. And that's because a kriya for a parent must be done fully, from the top of the collar all the way down, and it has to be a full-fledged kriya. The Rambam seems to have a totally different reading of the Gemara over here, and seems to say that Rav Nachman Yisus is coming to permit it, that one is allowed to tear an additional kriya for a relative on top of the kriya of a parent. And that's because Tosefta is not considered to be a pkiya in the kvod of Ivimo, so he seems to see in the Gemara the opposite way of all the other Rishonim might have added slightly different girsa in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, Heichan Korea, where do you tear kriya? So the Gemara says, Atiburo, you have to tear the kriya all the way down to one's stomach belly button. Veishramim Adibo, some say you have to tear the kriya down to the heart. Alpha Bishain Raya Ludavar, even though it's not approved, Zecha Ludavar Shinemar, the Pasuk in Yoel says, Vikiru Lubavchem, Vialbigdechem. Tear your hearts and not your clothing. So tearing the clothing down to the heart is an indication of that. Higia the tiburo marchik shloshetz baot v'korea. If he reaches down to his belly button or down to the stomach area, he cannot continue that kriya. He moves over shloshetz baot on the beged at the top and starts a new kriya. Mit malei lefanav, if the front side of the beged has torn so many times that he can't tear it anymore, machzir l'acharav, he could turn the beged around and start tearing the back of the beged. If the upper half of the beged is already torn, he can turn the beged upside down and start tearing from the bottom, meaning that he wears it the other way around and tears from the what will now be the top. Someone who rips from the bottom up, for the sides, lo yatsa, that's not called a kriya. The Kohen Gadol doesn't have any avelut, really. He rents his garment from the bottom a little bit as a siman of his kriya. Pligi bar of matnor marukva, but tavayu mishmei da'av shmuel v'levi. You have a machloket Amoraim here, and both of them are in the name of Avod Shmuel and Levi. Chad amar kol shiva koreya lachar shiva mosif. All 7 days, if a person gets bad news, then they have to tear a separate kriya during the shiva. After the shiva is passed, then you can mosif on the existing kriya. The Chad amar one says kol shloshim koreya. All 30 days, one gets new bad news, they have to tear a separate kriya. Lachar shloshim, after 30 days, mosif. Then you're allowed to add on to the existing kriyot. So Matki Vlo Rabbi Zera, Amanda Marko Shiva Korea, Amai. One who says that all the 7 days of Avelut, you have to tear a separate Kriya. Why? Deloni Tan Lesholulot. Because you can't stitch it up at all during the period of Shiva. Elo Adam Amar, what about the fact that an Isha Shalot Taula Altar, a woman can stitch it up immediately? So Mar says, Achanami. So in that case, it should be able, she should be able to rip it and be Mosif. Mar says, Altam Ishum Kvod Ishao. The reason that they stitch it up or loosely stitch it up is for the honor of the woman, for the tzniut of the woman. But that's not because mi'ikar alocha it could be stitched up. The ikar alocha is it can't be stitched up. Therefore, you have to tear a separate kriya in each of those cases. Just because of the kvod isha that she stitches it up, that doesn't change the dynamic of the shiva. The ikar alocha of shiva is that you cannot stitch it up. Mandamar kol shloshim koreya, that all 30 days you have to tear a separate kriya. My, deloni tan achoto, because you're not allowed to stitch it up properly, fix the kriya during the first 30 days of avilut. Ela vivi mo, what are you going to do about a parent? Deloni tan achoto de olam, by a parent, well, you can't stitch it up forever. So achanami, that you'd have to tear a separate kriya. Hato mishum kvod avivi mo. The extension of the fact that you may not stitch up the kriya for a parent is not again meikar locha. It's because of kvod avivi mo. One's parents are unique and separate, and therefore, the din is you don't stitch it up. But that's not again the ikar locha. After shloshim, the ikar locha is that you could stitch up a tear, and therefore anybody who tears at that point could be mosif. How to reconcile between what we just read here in this part of the Braita and the previous Braita, which says that you have to tear a separate kriya for one's parents and you can't add on to the kriya of one's parents? How do we reconcile that with the second Braita that is subject to a machloket Rishonim? Rishonim have three different approaches how to reconcile the statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira with the Gemara that we have over here. There's some that say that the Gemara over here is following the position of the Tana Kamma. It doesn't relate to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira whatsoever. So in that case, all that's read in the Gemara here isn't relevant because we hold the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The way that the Ritva explains this part of the Gemara, he says it's totally separate from the previous part of the Gemara, and there are actually three different stages in terms of kriya. There's a kriya which is tochadei digbur, which is a kriya that happens when you get the news basically simultaneously. There is a kriya that's not betochadei dibur, which is you get the same news, but you get it within the 7 day period. And then there's a third stage, which is beyond the 7 day period. And what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira is addressing is a case where you get the simultaneous news. You get the news at the same time. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira says you may not add on to a kriya made for a parent, or according to some of the Rishonim, you can't add on to a relative's kriya for a parent as well, because that would be inappropriate when you tear the two kriyot simultaneously for both relatives and a parent. You have to give a separate designation for the parent. But in the case where it's not at simultaneous, but within the Shiv'ah, then the Tanakhama of the second Brayta and Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater agree that you can't add on because you have to have a separate Kriya on that case. And after 7 days, the Tanakhama of the Brayta and Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater agree that you can add on to a Kriya. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater is only addressing a case where you got the news simultaneously. And the latter Brayta is talking about a case of after 7 days where even Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater would agree that you can be Mosif. The Rambam, who differentiated between adding on to a Kriya for a parent versus adding on to a Kriya for a Karov, which is that one is allowed to add on to a Kriya that was made for a parent, but one is not allowed to add on to a Kriya of a relative for a parent, then the latter part of the Gemara is not a problem, because the latter part of the Gemara, it says after 7 days, one is permitted to add on to a Kriya of a parent, which is also true of the statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater. So those are the three different ways to reconcile between Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater's statement above and the Gemara over here of before 7 days and after 7 days. Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that person gets news of multiple relatives passing away, including their parents. The person tears a separate kriya for the parents and a separate kriya for the other krovim. He does not have a separate kriya for mother and father. He can tear one kriya for mother and father together. He has to tear kriya first for his parents and then afterwards for the other relatives. If, again, one hears about a Tira within 7 days of a first death, then the person may not add on to the first Kriya, it's the Tera separate Kriya. But if he hears about the information after 7 days, then he can add on to the first Kriya. But if the second piece of information is about a parent, then he cannot be Mosif on the Kera of a relative. But rather, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda ben Pater, that you have to tear a separate Kriya for the parent even after 7 days. Which is like the Rambam's ruling that if you tear first Kriya for a parent, then you can add on to that Kriya for another relative, but the opposite way around is not true. If you tear for a relative, one may not add on to that Kriya for a parent. Tarabanan, ayotzei bebeged karua lifnei amet, arisei golel et ametim ve'et achayim. Someone goes out with an already torn garment to accompany a funeral procession. He is stealing from the metim, because he hasn't done a Kriya lekavod amet, and he's stealing from those that are alive who think he tore Kriya over this. He's deceiving the people that are there. Rav Shimon Omer, Omer lechavero ichilani chalukha, says, can I borrow your garment or your clothing, your shirt? I'm going to visit my father who is deathly ill. He got there and he found out that he was passed away. Korea, he tears his friend's garment, even though it's not his garment. And then he restitches it up. He gives it back to his friend. And then he pays him for the diminishment in value caused by the ripping and stitching up. If he never told the friend originally where he was going, he can tear it. I mean that if he tells his friend he's going to his deathly ill father, the friend has to take into consideration there's a possibility that he might find him passed away. And if that's the case, he's going to tear the beged. So it's as if he granted him permission to tear in the beged. On the other hand, if he doesn't give him that information, then he can't tear the beged because it's not his beged. You can't tear kriya on someone else's beged. Tanu Rabbanan, choleh shemet lo meit. If you're someone who is very ill, and they have a karov that passed away, ein modinoto shemet. We don't tell them that information. Shemar titarev datola, because it might cause them more distress and actually cause them to die or to succumb to their illness. So we withhold that information from them. And we don't tear a kriya in front of them, or we don't come with a kriya in front of them, so they do not know the information. And we silence the women. We have the women don't speak about it, don't talk about these issues in front of him, so that the choled is not overcome by the information or the news. So we protect them from that news. This we saw earlier in the Masechta, that the ktanim tear kriya, not because they're chayavim in kriya, but because it causes agmat nefesh, where people see a katan with the kriya, that tears them up, and it causes them to feel the anguish, the pain, of what has transpired over here. V'korina chamiv v'chalmoto, a person tears kriya for his in-laws, v'pnei kvod ishto, out of color for his wife, he tears kriya over his in-laws. Again, this could be partly because it's his wife's relatives, and therefore he's joining in the avelut of his wife, or it might be because of the unique relationship between a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law and their in-laws, that they have a quasi-status of parents, and therefore you tear kriya because of the kavod, not of yishto, but because of the fact that they are parents to the couple as a whole. V'amar Rav Papa, Tana Be'evil Rabboti, it's written in Evil Rabboti in Masechet Smachot, Aval lo yaniach tinok betok cheko, v'nei shemivyo de deskok, a person shouldn't carry a baby in his chest or in his bosom, because it brings them to laughter. in that v'nimtza mitgane al abriyot, and then that would be wholly inappropriate, or people would not think properly of him, which is that type of behavior where a person is be'avelut, and a young child and a young baby causes a person to laugh and to coo. Those types of reactions and emotions are inconsistent with the avelut. And therefore, if the avel is acting this manner, people are going to say, wait, this is how he's acting, this is the type of avel. So therefore, we don't put them into a predicament where they would have this conflict of the emotions, and we keep the babies away from the avilim so that they don't become conflicted in the emotions. Okay, we're going to stop over here by the two dots towards the bottom of Chavav Amud Bet.